You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. You can go to newchurches.com and download the exclusive Stated Church Planning Research Report for free. My name is Daniel, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What?
You did that last episode.
I did.
Anyway, now before we get to our question today, I do want to do a giveaway for one lucky listener who left us a review on iTunes. So this one is from Great Nuggets of Wisdom.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. He seemed legit, or he or she seemed legit, because they had reviews elsewhere. So here it is. Regardless of where you are in ministry, just starting out, a seasoned saint, or even a rogue, this podcast has applicable information for all those in the trenches of church planting and multiplication. It's a quick podcast with relevant information. Take a listen. You'll be glad you did. So, Great Nuggets of Wisdom, thanks for leaving that review. If you could DM me on Twitter or email me at daniel@newchurches.com, then we'd love to send you a custom New Churches moleskin notebook and pen. Right on. Well, today we are going to listen to a question from Chris Martinez, who is a church planter in Lake Murray, South Carolina.
Lake Murray.
My name is Chris Martinez. I'm a church planter in Lake Murray, South Carolina. That's right outside of Columbia. Been here for about 2 months. Been planting this church plant for about 2 years. And I have a question for you guys, and I'm excited to be on the podcast. Previously, I had started a multi-site out of the church I was at, did that for 2 years. It was extremely successful, but it was pretty close to the home church, and the communities had a lot of connections, and it really helped us be successful and was just a great thing. Now, this church that I'm speaking with is about an hour away from where I'm at, and we've been discussing the different levels of support they could offer us. The pastor has been super supportive of me personally, supports what we're doing over here 100%, and so while we're walking through this process of considering this maybe being a multi-site instead of a church plant, what would be the keys to success in starting a multi-site in a city 1 hour away? So if you guys could help me out, that would be great.
Now, this is an interesting question because Chris Martinez, as we heard from the question, he used to be a part of a multi-site church, I believe, maybe a campus pastor, and he's had experience in this, in that, and now he's planted a church, and after planting, there's now a different church, maybe it's the same one, but it sounded like a different one, that wants to actually adopt his church plant to be a campus of their church, which is 1 hour away. So that's quite an interesting situation, but I feel like the question gives us good grounds to discuss. It's good grounds really for churches who are considering starting a site, for church plants or individuals thinking about campus pastoring. There's a lot of that dynamic going on here. So Chris, his question was, what are the keys to success in starting a multi-site in a city 1 hour away from yours?
Well, the first thing I would say is you can't commute to community.
Yep.
Or at least you shouldn't commute to community. I think there's different levels there. First and foremost, the campus pastor is going to do it, then he needs to live there. He can't just, you know, parachute in every weekend or it's not going to work. I do think that, you know, you may have some strategic volunteers or strategic staff that maybe help with the startup.
Yeah.
That are, you know, kind of almost special teams. Mm-hmm. And in that case, I would say, you know, that's okay if they kind of commute in. But I think your core people, whether, you know, it is a lot like a church plant in this instance where you're looking for a core group of people and you want to build that community out of that core group. So first and foremost, I would say that's the number one rule. You need some people there that know your church or are at least aware of it, that buy into the vision. And hopefully there's a point of pain. If they're driving that far every week, there's a point of pain. They obviously love your church and love its vision enough to participate in it. However, you know, this opportunity coming closer to home really does a lot for them because it's going to allow them an opportunity to serve and hopefully hopefully be their church and their community. Because up to this point, remember, if they've had to invite anybody to church, it's an hour away,
yeah,
which is a big commitment for somebody who's unchurched, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about Chris, you know, Chris, as you're exploring this relationship with this church that wants you to become their campus, the thing about that is, for a home, you know, for the mother church and her daughter campuses or sibling campuses or twin campuses, for that relationship to work, there does have to be at least some level of relationship between the pastors at one level, the core leaders at another level, the congregations even too. So if the two congregations are going to be 1 hour apart, you really do have to assess what are those unique benefits? Like, what do you gain from becoming a part of that church, becoming a campus of that church versus continuing on your own?
Well, I would say one of the key benefits, there's a couple. One, if you're that far away, you get to replicate what you want and leave behind everything else. It's really important to keep it simple.
Yeah.
You don't want to do everything that the full menu of everything that was offered from the mothership.
And it may not work in your context, no, in your context either.
So just keep it simple. That way it will be easier to start. There's less financial risk. There's less to replicate. Another big thing really is decision rights. It's important to establish decision rights from the very beginning so that you know what autonomy you have. When you keep it simple, you have the opportunity to let ministries grow as the people grows and your congregation grows. And statistically, multi-site churches grow by like 28% their first year. So as it grows, you are no doubt going to have ministry that is, you know, it just pops up in that area where your church members live, work, and play. And that's, of course, where you want to be. So leaving it simple at the beginning, not offering a full suite of everything, is important so that you have an opportunity to come back and invest your resources properly, both financially and people-wise.
Yeah, so I mean, really the overarching umbrella of what Todd and I were talking about was this idea of discovery. You know, what does it look like, Chris, to discover as much information as you can before you commit to becoming a campus of the church? It's kind of like a relationship, right? You're not going to meet someone and get married to them the next day.
Do you know them?
Yeah.
Do you know them really?
Yeah, so it's they know you?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going in and doing an audit, tip to tail. Just show up when nobody knows who you are or why you're there. Show up with a critical eye, not a critical spirit, but a critical eye, to look at, do they value children's ministry? Do they, like, what do they value based on the announcements that you're hearing, based on what you're seeing? It's hard to judge a church on, you know, one Sunday, but at the same time, going in and evaluating that and, you know, asking your wife or asking a core team, if you already have them, to evaluate will really, really help you. I mean, one of the most beneficial things that we did was when we took our greeters and had them shop churches other than us and bring back the feedback. Oh, yeah,
completely.
And trade out. Like, if you've got a trusted friend down the road at another church, be like, hey, you want to swap greeter ministries for a little bit and see who, like, what can we learn from each other? What do they do really well that we could benefit from? Because I can guarantee you, or what do they do poorly and we need to benefit from? But I guarantee you there will be benefits. So do audit there. The other piece I would say, vitally important, especially if this is a new multi-site that you don't know the area terribly well. You've got good people there. You've got people from your church that are tired of driving in, and you, like I said, don't want them to commute to community. It's really evaluating, what do I really know about this community?
Yeah.
So I can remember, I think it was my second campus that I led. I had my team for 3 days go out into the neighborhood, and all their job was for those 3 days. I didn't want them on email. I didn't want them anything. I wanted them walking up and down the street, sipping coffee, going into the bookstores, talking to restaurant owners, doing whatever to find out whatever they could about the community, to for us to really understand and get a good profile. Another tool that I think is really valuable is one that's called, it's an app, and it's by an organization called ESRI, and they have an app that's called Bayo. It's not Scott Bayo, but BAO. And I'm telling you, it's meant for businesses to see whether or not they want to invest in a location. Okay, so it's going to give you demographics, tip to tail, and it's totally free. That nobody knows. I'm sure they wouldn't. They would love to hear that church planters are and multi-site guys are using it. But man, I use that thing all the time because gives you great graphic or demographics. And you can, you know, cut those up and look at the specific areas, understand a lot more than just mere conjecture, because conjecture will kill you in churches. Just because somebody got three emails or one person lives there and they tell you it's really diverse, or they tell you it's really, no, that's, you know, they'll tell you economic information about an area. And they may have known what the economic information was 10 years ago, but they haven't been there and they don't know.
Yeah.
So do your homework. Data doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. And go from there.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll have links to that in the show notes at newchurches.com/podcasts. So you can get all that there. You know, when you think of that, about the keys to multi-site, to successful multi-site, I mean, really, I think it comes back to the leadership of the church. So as you are the leader at that campus, what is it, like, how much freedom do you have to make decisions? What sort of authority do you have to change maybe part of the way the mission is played out? How close are you with the lead guy? Because that needs to be spelt out pretty clearly.
Well, I don't have a ton to add. I just think, you know, that goes back to keep it simple and decision rights, making sure that you have those key decisions made prior to that. You know exactly what the playing field is, what the boundaries are, so that, you know, you can go in and succeed. If you don't know what decision rights are, if it is unclear, you're toast, because people will follow you if you're uncertain. They will not follow you if you're unclear.
Right on. Well, that's awesome. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have a question about church planning, multi-site, or multiplication, you can go to newchurches.com, click on the sidebar that says send voicemail, and in 45 seconds, introduce yourself and ask your question. We'll be answering one question per show, so get your questions in. Also, if you could be so kind as to leave a rating and review for our podcast, you'd be helping others discover and benefit from this podcast as much as we hope you are. And just like we did today, we'll be randomly choosing one of the reviewers every once in a while and doing a giveaway. So thanks again for listening in.